Carmichael Dave Show.
He's on the microphone when he's not on the microphone. He's playing a song, and when he's not playing a song, he's on the microphone, and then boom!
With Jason Ross.
No, he didn't! Yes, he did!
Call or text at 916-339-1140.
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross on Sacktown Sports.
All right, hour number two. I'm looking for, I'm looking for coverage of the Masters on the ESPN app, and the first one's at 8:15. I mean, I know they...
Yeah, it's pushed back, right?
There should be some live at the Masters crap or whatever. I guess it is up here on the Golf Channel or wherever it is. Masters starts today. If you're not a golf person, relax. Greg Norman was at Augusta yesterday.
Is that right?
Yeah, he was not expected to show up. The background on that is Greg Norman is the linchpin, if you will, for the LIV Golf Tour. He's the commissioner, the guy in charge over there. Well, the guy in charge on the face. So it's obviously awkward. Like, a lot of people blame him for dividing the two. And it's like this weird golf underbelly. There's like something with it. I don't even know what it is, but it's like the LIV Tour people, Teslas, and crypto. Like, there's like this Venn diagram with them that I don't quite understand, but it's strange. And there's like this rivalry between the two. Now Norman shows up, and apparently for a while he was following Rory McIlroy around, watching him play on his practice round. And Rory's been a staunch supporter and advocate for the PGA Tour, and very outspoken against Greg Norman and the LIV Tour. So stay tuned for that. With it beginning today, you know, I'm a honk for the whole thing. I watched the par three yesterday. It's just golfers bringing out their families. Tony Finau's 30 person family he brought out. he's such a good family man, a dad. I think he had five kids, to be honest, and his wife with him. And, you know, you have like a John Rahm's, you know, little one who literally tried to eat the microphone last year. So you see these golfers kind of in their element personally, and all the kids and wives and girlfriends are in these white Masters caddy outfits, you know, and the little kids with the backwards Masters hats rolling around in the bunkers and stuff. It's a cool thing that they do over on the par three. And nobody who has ever won the par three contest has ever won.
Yep.
The Masters did. I didn't watch the end. Do you know?
I don't even know who won the par three.
I think Ricky Fowler.
He was at
5 under and leading. Who won the par three? He was leading at 5 under. He won. And Victor Hovland had an ace. Oh, we'll have to get the Norwegian call on that one.
Yes, they love them some Victor Hovland.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know. We talked about this yesterday, Jason, but honestly, I just want to explore it because I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced in my answer, but here's where I'm starting. Right now, I believe that winning the Masters is the greatest individual award in sports. And what I've decided to put it up against so far is like, okay, what about a gold medal?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. First off, I mean, I'm adding everything in. So first off, the Masters is worth, I think, $2 million. Plus you get the green jacket. Plus you get, you're a member for life at Augusta. You get your own locker and just the prestige and all that that goes with it. Now, gold medal, I think if you had like all these categories as to how to rank them, there's places where the gold medal is better than the Masters internationally, prestige, whatever you want to say. But I think overall, I would take if I had a choice between winning a gold medal or winning the green jacket, I'm going to take the green jacket. Heisman Trophy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The thing is, you win the Heisman Trophy. In fact, more often than not, you're going to be an average or not very good NFL
player.
Yeah, it's
meant nothing for the NFL.
You are definitely, it is in the category of like exclusivity and prestige. It's right there with the green jacket. You are one of a small list of people. It's only once a year. You are forever in your obituary.
And you can live in the Heisman house.
On the commercials.
Yes.
You will forever, when you die, one of the first lines in your obituary, if not the first words, will say Heisman Trophy winner Jason Ross. You know, there's that. Now, is there a greater, in your opinion, is there anything that comes to mind that maybe I'm forgetting that overall to you would be a better individual award in sports?
Well, I think when you add in all the things that comes with the Masters, like you said, the membership.
Yeah.
You know, for some, they're like, I don't care about the green jacket. But they might. That's also part of the acknowledgement. You get the dinner the next year.
Yes.
I mean, there's a couple
you
little.
You get to go to every other dinner in the future for the champions.
And all the other majors you get to play in, right? So, for the sport and for what it means, I mean, I don't know of an individual. Like, MVPs, all those things are great, but I don't know that. Gold medal would be the next closest one to me, if not the number one.
I think so. I think you're right. I apologize, by the way, the money breakdown, the winner of the tournament gets $3.2 million.
Wow.
So, hey, that's pretty good.
Yeah, but after taxes.
And I'm trying to see if I can find it. Because like you said, like there's all kinds of, I think you can play in the Masters for life. Mm-hmm. Pretty sure that, in fact, I'm positive that's the case. You get a replica trophy of the clubhouse, honorary lifetime membership. Obviously, you get the ranking points and all that fun stuff. But again, I mean, the green jacket, 5-year exemption on the PGA Tour, and also a 5-year exemption to the Open, the U.S. Open, and the PGA Championship. Every Masters winner can enter the tournament again every single year, and every winner automatically becomes a member, an honorary member. It says this isn't the same as being a fully paid up Augusta National member. Oh. Only Jack and Arnie went on to enjoy that privilege. It does mean, however, they get to play Augusta National whenever they like and wear their green jacket whenever they're on the premises. I mean, what's the difference? My goodness gracious. So I think it's the best. I think it is. And somebody might be out there. I understand. They're like, oh, I don't care about golf. Give me the boxing heavyweight championship. Okay.
Yeah.
There's
something prestigious about that. There's something prestigious about being like the fastest person on the world, you know?
Yes. The heavyweight champion of the world in boxing for a long time. I mean, it was basically like this man is if this guy fought everyone in the world, he wins. He is the toughest man in the world. And then, as you said, the fastest man in the world. The long jump in the Olympics. We've talked about that before. That used to be everything. Must-see TV. Now, like, I know that you're like track and field guy like me. Like, you know, can you name anyone that's won the long jump since Carl Lewis?
No.
I can't even. No. I'm sure if we saw the list, I mean, we're going all the way back to the 80s now?
Yeah, Carl Lewis won in 84, maybe even 88.
I think you might be right. And I'm sure if we looked at the list right now, we'd be like, oh, yeah, I remember that guy.
Yeah.
But it doesn't pop out at me. And that's it, because there's not, I mean, Wimbledon, I guess, is somewhere in there, that big silver platter that they have. I'm just trying to think of individual sports, you know?
I think it's the medal. Gold medal would be the one.
Gold medal's the closest.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's for for the country. You hear the anthem. That's always going to be, gold medalist, Carmichael. You know, it's always going to be put in front of your name.
I think the pageantry of the gold medal too is like at or because what you just said, you won the gold medal, which means whatever, you know. But am I wrong for thinking that like the gold medal has been kind of tainted a little bit because of all these weird, like, you know, like, oh, this is the gold medalist for the loop-de-loop competition in skateboarding or whatever, you know? Yeah. I only respect the classic Olympic events. Marathon.
Yeah.
I remember the story about the curling team, like one of the first curling teams that the U.S. sent over there. They were just pounding McDonald's nonstop because it was free.
They didn't care. They had no chance. There's actually a part of me that thinks that, like, if I had my druthers, this wouldn't do good for ratings, but here's what I would say. Go back to everybody being an amateur. You can't, if you're a pro, you can't participate in the Olympics. And then let's also do away with all the main, like, I don't want to see basketball anymore. I don't want to see golf. I don't want to see baseball. I only want to see the sports that nobody cares about until the Olympics. That's the only thing I want to see.
They used to have dueling.
Like, where you shoot people?
Yes, but it was with, like, wax bullets. So like you don't kill each other, but it's like you're wearing something, so you duel and you shoot at each other. And
I mean, kind of to your point, like why is paintball not an Olympic sport? you've got paintball teams. I mean, hell, Jimmer Fredette, God bless him. He's going to win he could win a gold medal this year for playing three. It's not even basketball. It's 3-on-3 basketball. And if that's the case, why is darts not an Olympic sport?
Go fish. War.
Old maid.
Blackjack.
They used to also have tug of war.
They did. Why don't they? That's the thing. I think there should be a rule. If it wasn't played before 1800, it can't be in there.
Heads up, 7-Up.
Nope, 1863.
I want a 1992-style gladiators assault run.
Yeah. Yes! Yes!
Just getting peppered with tennis balls.
I'm not going to lie, by the way. Gladiators should, like, that. If that was in the Olympics, I mean, that's maybe with, like, fake tigers or something. Chariot racing. Where's chariot racing? They have equestrian, right? But it's just the dumb jumping.
Yes.
Right. That's a rich, goofy sport. Why don't they have like horse racing? You know, like the Kentucky Derby style. If I could add any sport,
yes,
I'll tell you right now what it would be.
What's that?
Slam ball.
Legitimate. Dog agility.
You love that.
I love it. And what if you're gonna have equestrian?
Right.
And these horses doing their thing, which is a sport reserved for like sipping bourbon drinks in Kentucky and wearing giant hats. Why can't we have dog agility?
Dog agility is great because it's amazing when it's like the dog is just on a run.
Absolutely.
But it's amazing when the dog is just running around not doing what it's supposed to do.
I watched one the other day and this dog was unruly jamming around. Dog. Yeah, well, it wasn't unruly. He was like doing really well and then about a quarter in, he just took a giant dump. He had to go.
Yeah.
But like, could you imagine like Gus the gold medalist? I don't think French bulldogs are great. I've seen a couple. They're not great. They get tired.
Well, he couldn't do it in the U.S.
That's true. Yeah, he would have to represent France.
You'd have to get used to a different anthem.
We would. Yes, we. Do you think he'd like get on, put his little paw over his heart?
Yes. just as would you.
Right. Exactly. Yes, I would. I have a little tear. If Gus won, I would have a little tear. We'll take a break. Very quick break. 1 minute. When we come back, 3 for Madness, brought to you by Fire Wings. Tonight's game and where they could be and where they should be, and is it a must win? Yeah, we'll talk about that next.
3 questions, 3 answers. It's 3 for Madness on the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross.
Here's question 1.
Somebody on the text line just reminded me that if we're really going to go back to the, not the 90s, but the original Olympics, and go with that theme, that they used to, they did not wear clothing. That is true.
Yeah.
I'm good on that. I'm like, no, I mean, like,
you're good with that.
No, I'm good. I think
you like the progress we've made.
I do, because I got to be honest with you, man. I know they used to do. I'm pretty sure in the original Olympics they used to do Greco-Roman wrestling, and that's just got to get really awkward at some point, especially when bathing wasn't a huge thing back then. I got to think. I would just.
What if that was an advantage?
Probably.
Here comes Stinky Pete.
Oh, exactly. Doing an oil check, and I'd just be like, all right, I'm tapping.
Stinky!
I'm good. The Masters tournament is officially underway, and I believe in a guy we used to see all the time, but we don't see him anymore because he's on the other tour. Bryson DeChambeau, I believe, is the first to tee off. So the Masters, after a delay, is underway. By the way, we couldn't find the Victor Hovland hole-in-one from yesterday, but just so you know, the reason we look for Victor Hovland holes-in-ones is because we get the Norwegian call like this one of the players in 2022.
På det lange åttende par tre hullet. Se på det slaget til Victor Hovland! Kom igjen da! Ja da! Ja da! Han drar ned på hull åtte! Vår mann! Har du sett om Henrik Bjørnsson som har sittet her nå i døgn etter døgn, så går han ut bare for å lette litt på trykket, og så får han ikke med seg hole i vann til Victor. Du kan bare holde deg ute, Henrik. Savner dere det helt tatt når vi får sånne slag? Ja da!
What's he even saying?
I love the sound of that language so much. I do. And I always respect all languages, especially people that are bilingual. But I just got to be honest, man. I hear the excitement in the voice and everything, and all I'm thinking is Swedish Chef from the Muppets. That's all I can think in my head, dude. Is that that's the face behind the voice. Three for Madness brought to you by Firewings. What? Did somebody say something?
I said, work.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I looked up, and both of you were looking at me, and I was like, did I just have a stroke? Like, that's one of those things.
You smell a match?
Question one, Chris Rolland.
Hey.
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 Is tonight's game a must-win?
Nope. No. We've already defined what a must-win is, and no, you do not have to win tonight. You can choose to not win tonight. You'll still be around tomorrow. But from a six-seed standpoint, it is a must-win. If you have – this is your last –
Oh, yeah. For that, I've already given up hope on that.
I have, too. I'm just saying, like, mathematically, if you have any shot at not having to be in the play-in, you would have to win tonight and get a ton of help, including the Pelicans losing out.
Yeah. A win tonight, yeah. I mean, I guess the six seed would still technically be in play, but I think it gives you a much better chance of being in the 7-8, which I think is really, really important. They got to do what they can to be in the 7-8 for their best chance to get to the playoffs. So.
Because either way, whether you're in the 7 or 8, if you're in the 7, you're hosting everything to get into the playoffs. Mm-hmm. If you're in the 8, you're going to go on the road for a game, but then you have a whole second game at home.
But you could also win that first game on the road.
You could. Yeah. You could. Now, if you go, if you're the nine, good news, you're hosting one. But
that win doesn't mean anything except for another opportunity.
That's right. And if you're the 10.
Everything's road.
You got to win. Well, wait, hold on. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. If you're the 9, you host one, go on the road. If you're the 10, it's road.
Yeah. I mean, Kings in theory, let's put them at 10 just for sake of argument. They could have play Sunday at 12:30 against Portland. Wednesday, I don't know, in San Francisco or in L.A., go to then, let's say, Phoenix.
Yeah.
And then if you got through all of that, and then you open up at Denver or Minnesota or OKC.
Just, Jason, I'm going to say that's not ideal.
Not ideal at all.
Number two, please.
Question two.
Brandon Ingram is out for the Pelicans. Does this give you any more hope?
I mean, it should. Hey, they're missing a big star. Awesome.
Normal season.
Yeah, in a normal season it would. In this season, I don't know. Although I will say this, Brandon Ingram just kills us, it seems, every time we play them.
They haven't played as well without him.
They haven't.
So it gives me a little more, but they're still 0-4 against this team, and they're still big and long in all the spots that have bothered the Kings.
Speaking of, more on that in a little bit. Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
Zion, in their last game, just take a look at what they've done without Ingram. Zion had 22-7. CJ McCollum, who they still have, 29-5. Troy Murphy Jr., 31-8 to go with 3 assists. And don't forget, by the way, you know, DeMontis Sabonis is having a little bit of a rough stretch right now. It was a tough road trip for him overall, and then his streak broke, obviously, in their loss to Oklahoma City. He's going up against Jonas Valanciunas, which is always a tough matchup for him. They're going to have their work cut out for them. I mean, that's a dumb thing to say, obviously, but they really are going to have their work cut out. Oh, and by the way, it's the first home game from a road trip.
Yeah. By the way, you said CJ McCollum. I was thinking about this. One of the games this year, I think it was here when the Pelicans beat the Kings, his post-game interview with everybody back in New Orleans was like, yeah, this team didn't draft me, so blah, blah, blah. And he had a great game. I'm thinking, wait, we're past that, aren't we?
Not him.
No, but I mean,
right, we are.
He's had other games where it's like, yeah, CJ's been okay.
Uh-huh.
Kings didn't draft you then either. No. Like Luka, when he did that the other day with Vlade in the building.
Yeah.
All right, we get it. All right, he should have drafted me. That's more of the, hey, there's the guy that didn't take me. I'm going to point to him and make a scene. I just thought CJ's been in this league like 12 years.
That was
more.
Just like a random, I'm with you, like a random shot out of nowhere.
He's played the Kings 45 times, and he's been good a lot of them, but.
And guess what? Like 95% of the NBA has not been drafted by the Kings.
Yeah,
that was all weird. I mean, we passed on everybody.
Yeah.
We're an equal opportunity, terrible scouting group for the years. Number three.
Question three.
If the Kings lose tonight, where do you have them finishing?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you, and you respond, but I'll tell you, and I think this is a realistic, I don't think I'm being pessimistic when I say this. I think if they lose tonight, I think they'll be 9. And I think some would argue that's optimistic. I believe that is the most likely scenario. If they lose tonight and the Warriors win, and again, the Warriors are playing, they're favored by 14.5 in Portland. They should win. If that happens, the Kings will be in a 3-way tie with the Warriors and the Lakers for the 8, 9, and 10. They hold the tiebreaker over both, but one slip up and they're...
Yeah, you have to go 2-0.
You have to go 2-0 after that. And you'd like to think one of those, I mean, it's never with this team, one of those is in the bag.
Yeah.
With Portland, but you got to win at home against the Suns. And I have this terrible feeling that the game's going to finish 1-2 and lose to the Suns and Pelicans. And I really hope I'm wrong. I really, really hope I'm wrong, because that's going to be a rough outing for fans and a really rough way to get into the weekend if they lose tonight and then turn around and lose to the Suns.
Well, and the other part is if they're 1-2, we painted the scenario of the Warriors winning out. If the Lakers won out, then you're 10.
That's right.
You know,
that's right.
So my guess would be, you know, the question is if they lose tonight, then it's on them to win too. I do like the matchup with Phoenix. I don't like that it's second night of a back-to-back.
All right.
They have responded. You know what? I'll take the other side. They'll figure out a way to be eighth.
I hope you're right. I really, really hope you're right, because
I hope you guys are wrong and they win tonight.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
well, the question was if the Kings lose tonight.
Yeah. And I hope they... Yeah, I think we all hope they win. Of course, yeah. Remember, that's a TNT game right here.
If they win, it feels completely different.
It does feel completely different. And, you know, speaking of Jason, it also feels completely different when you get your confidence back in the bedroom. I mean, I don't know that, but I read it once somewhere. I also read that, and listen up, YouTube chat, that girth, all right, is consistently ranked as the most important attribute for a guy, along with, you know, of course, being a good person and personality. Talking about the bedroom. Now, look, if you're in your car, you're at home or whatever, nobody can see you. Don't be embarrassed. I'm talking to you. Hey, maybe you've lost a little bit of confidence. Maybe you want to reset in the romance area. Well, guess what? You remember my friend, Dr. Jack Friedlander. He's back here with his buddy, Dr. Pash. And whether you're in Roseville and also in San Francisco, where their places are, guess what? We've got a solution for you with immediate results. This is non-surgical and virtually pain-free. It's safe, it's effective, long-lasting, and semi-permanent, and it's performed by doctors. Real, from a house of learned doctors. Free consultation. The procedure can be done on the same day as that consultation, and they are really good at making everything private, comfortable. You know what I'm saying? Dr. Pash, Dr. Friedlander, Roseville, San Francisco. You remember Dr. Jack. You remember these guys. Good people. We want to do the right thing for you. Go to upsizematters.com. UpsizeMatters.com. Get your girth on. When we come back, Kelly Brothers joins us for an incredibly girthy segment.
Good at business.
We'll talk business next.
Joining us now on SportsSense, certified financial planner Kelly Brothers. Kelly is an advisor with CapTrust, one of the nation's largest registered investment advisors. CapTrust counts among its clients numerous pro athletes and pro sports franchises, but most importantly serves many Northern Californians through comprehensive financial planning. Here's Kelly Brothers.
All right, we're going to get to Kelly Brothers. In fact, Kelly can join us for this. Chris, if you would, please.
When it breaks,
we have it first.
It's Sactown Sports Breaking News.
Now, I want to stress here, in the world of the internet, you always have to take everything with a grain of salt. This news is a minute old. But I'm going to O.J. Simpson's verified account with over 500,000 followers, and I'll read the following. On April 10th, our father, Orenthal James Simpson, succumbed to his battle with cancer. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren. During this time of transition, his family asked that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace, the Simpson family. So according, again, want to be careful here because people hack. Things happen. But that is his verified account with over 500,000 followers. And generally in these cases, I wait for TMZ, to be honest with you. No joke. But if that is to be believed, and I'm inclined to believe it, O.J. Simpson has passed away, and that will absolutely dominate headlines if that, in fact, is correct. for a while, because as we often say, Jason, when somebody passes, I always say, if there's a bright side, if you will, especially somebody that lived a long life, there is a celebration of their life. There is a there's a dog in the background. There is there is a conversation that brings them back into the zeitgeist, and that to me is always a good thing. Gonna be, I would say, gonna be not just unique. I want to say unprecedented.
Yeah.
If we're doing this, because how do you possibly separate the guy that we knew in the 80s and 90s, the 80s and 70s, some of the 80s, yeah. You've got the Hall of Fame, one of the greatest football players to ever play the game, hands down, no question, who turned into a beloved actor, the Naked Gun movies, the Hertz spokesman, the TV analyst. O.J. Simpson, for those of you under 30, if not 35, this is true, was once one of the most adored people in the entire country.
Right.
And then obviously that there is never, I don't think, in modern history been a fall off like there was with OJ. So Kelly, that just, sorry to kind of, you know, obviously completely take over the first part of our visit, but that just broke about 3 minutes ago. Again, we want to caution everyone. We'll let you know as soon as it is confirmed by a second source, but there you go, Kelly. And I know you are in our age group, obviously remember OJ, and that is that is going to be big news for a while here.
Oh man, I mean, we all remember where we were when we heard the first news, or when we watched the slow speed chase through LA. How many times are we going to see that later today?
Yeah,
but I mean, and a huge I mean, didn't he went to San Francisco City College, didn't he?
Yeah, I believe so. Yeah,
yeah.
Went to USC, obviously won the Heisman, but yeah, he was and beloved in Buffalo for so many years, and then finished up with the Niners. Mm-hmm. So, a checkered past, no doubt about it, but I think people will remember the latter more than the former, and probably rightfully so, given the heinousness of the crime committed. Yep. And also, culturally, what it meant to this country, what that verdict meant. And there's a boy, we can go down a road there, but I don't have that could take 3 hours, but, no, that is startling news. Hey, I wanted to touch real quick because it is Masters week. So we only get to touch on it 1 week of the year. The Masters begins today.
Yep.
And I find this to be an interesting business story because we hear every year about the pimento cheese sandwich costing $1.50.
Yes.
We hear about the chicken sandwich, $3. A beer at the Masters is $6. So literally a third of what you're paying at most major sporting events. But I should point out, 4 years ago, they purchased a strip mall down the street from Augusta National for $26 million, the Masters did. Uh-huh. They put something in there called Map and Flag. I believe this is the first year that it's open.
Yes,
but it's a beautiful space. If you Google it, you'll see the pictures of merchandise, of beautiful Masters imagery. It's got big screens. It's got bars. It's got food. It's all-inclusive food and drink. And it's the cost for a ticket into Map and Flag is $17,000 for the week.
Wow. Oh, you get a good view week. Though with that, though. That's the thing, right? You get a great view of TV. What, the 16th hole?
Wow.
So they are minting money. As they'll say, oh, the food and drink is free. No, it's not. I mean, it's included, but yeah. $17,000 for the week. So they are they're minting money at the Masters, and actually, it feels like a lot of the competitive juice between the players over LIV and PGA seems to dissipate this week, which is a good thing.
Quick contest between the three of us. Kelly, I'll ask you to hold your guess for obvious reasons. Chris Verlot, if you would join us real quick. Let's go around the room. I was thinking about this during the break. Has Kelly Brothers ever attended the Masters?
Mm.
And my first thought is he has been there. He has been there at least once.
Okay, I'll go with no.
No, Chris?
I'll say no.
No, no, and a yes. Kelly, have you ever been to the Masters?
No.
Ah!
Yet.
Hey, it's on the bucket list.
Yeah.
It's on the bucket list, Dave. We ought to go and do the show from there for a week.
That's right.
Well, welcome to my entire content for the first three. Yeah. I literally had a guest on yesterday and asked him on air how I can snake a press pass. Like, there is nothing in sports I want to do more than the Masters. Nothing. Well, it's not even close.
I have a new friend here in town who actually grew up in Augusta, Georgia, and he has some great stories, especially, I guess, Freddie Couples mowed his way through Augusta, Georgia a few times and left with a wake of broken hearts behind him.
But, wow.
Go ahead.
Yeah, Jason. I was going to say, Kelly, so we got Masters week, but we just wrapped up college basketball's week. The men's game was fine, and the men's tournament was fine. Everything was about the women's tournament. Caitlin Clark, South Carolina. What's the, you know, the numbers were staggering. What do you think this will do, though, for future numbers for the women's game, or do you feel like this year was going to be an outlier?
Yeah, two issues right there, and I think it could be an outlier. It could be an outlier in that this could have been all about Caitlin Clark. You know, if Caitlin Clark were not in the tournament, would the numbers have watched who did? But I got to point to weakness in the way the men's thing was produced. For example, it was on TNT. It was not on the network. And that makes a difference still in terms of just picking up the casual viewer. And the other thing, no one's talking about it, but this was the first year the men's game did not have Jim Nance. And I love Ernie Johnson doing the NBA stuff, but he doesn't light my fire as a college host or analyst. I mean, it was weird. It was not the must-see, must-listen-to TV. So Nance out. And plus, I just think the men's game is weaker, and I think college sports in general is weaker because of the portal. You just feel less tie to a lot of these schools when you have players who are playing for their third school in 3 years. And that's happening. And I think that's going to weaken the sport overall. I mean, whoever would have thought that, you know, the head coach at USC would suddenly say, I'm going to SMU because that's a better job.
Right.
Or John Calipari saying, I'm going to Arkansas. What? You're leaving Kentucky for Arkansas with a $33 million buyout on the table? And yet that is the state of college sports we're in right now. So anyway.
Want to acknowledge, by the way, it's I told you I was waiting for it, so I think we can now say it's official. TMZ has confirmed that O.J. Simpson has passed away at 76 years old. And again, there's going to be quite the conversation over the next few days, and we'll talk about this a little later in the program as well. But let's get to the A's, not the Sacramento A's, the A's, because they're so proud of moving here, they're not even going to use the city name, Kelly. But here we are. They're here. The news broke last week, and baseball, well, or something that resembles baseball, will be here for the next at least 3 years.
Yeah, and everyone, I think, exactly. It's a weak team. Although their record at this point in the season is pretty much the same as the Giants, spending double what they're spending.
Right.
You know, two things I just noticed yesterday. Number one, a new poll was done in Las Vegas about public financing for the stadium there.
No chance.
32% support that.
Yeah.
32.
Yeah.
I mean, that is an uphill battle, especially with the teachers union involved now fighting against
it. It's dead if it gets on the ballot. It's flat out is dead if it gets on the ballot. They're trying to gather. They have to gather. I talked to the guy who run schools for stadiums down there on the phone a few days ago. He says that they've got some mini litigation to get into, Kelly, and then they need to get 103,000 signatures over the next just about 2 months, which they say will cost about $1 million to do. And if they do that, it goes on the ballot. You and I both know with what we saw in Kansas City, no chance.
No, you're right. Kansas City was really an eye-opener given how much and the success of the Chiefs, obviously.
Yeah.
But, even ESPN yesterday writing about, this is a great move for Sacramento because they may reach a point where location is 9/10 of the law. You're there. Let's build something in Sacramento. And that's still a possibility. And this might be a case where Vivek was just able to get his foot in the door and that's enough. So, but who knows? We're all still excited about it, but I think the feeling all along, especially when you saw the Las Vegas mayor just come out and say, keep your team. We don't want that team.
Yeah.
Because obviously Las Vegas has put a lot of public money into sports venues over the last few years. So I think maybe they're tiring of that game.
Yeah. We only got about a minute. Kelly, what's your last thought on what kind of financial impact do you think that does for Sacramento, West Sacramento, all that kind of stuff?
Oh, unbelievable. And it should do something. I mean, can you, hopefully, let's face it, guys, I love our hometown, but we have completely, in so many ways, underutilized the beautiful rivers that run through our town.
Agreed.
So to have that team right on the other side of the river, hopefully this will lead to a city and counties, because Yolo County is involved too, obviously, but that where we just see new development along the rivers that for whatever reason has not come to fruition yet. And that's hopeful. That's completely being hopeful. Hey guys, I wanted to throw out one other crazy novel scenario. You ready for this?
Yes.
All the betting going on the Masters, right?
Yes.
And a lot of money is on who? Scottie Scheffler.
That's right.
Who comes in hot, who won 2 years ago. Scottie Scheffler has said if he gets a text Sunday afternoon from his wife that the baby's on the way. She is like 9.5 months pregnant. I can't believe they didn't induce on Tuesday. But if he gets a text, he said, "I will drop my bag and walk off the course." And they said, "Even if you're in the lead or tied for the lead," he said, "Yes, I will." Can you imagine?
Wow.
If he had the lead on the back nine Sunday, and suddenly the call came, and he's on his way to wherever she is. I think she's in Dallas. Forfeits the Masters with billions of dollars on the guy to win the tournament.
Do we know
that would be good?
Do we know this is his second child or first? Do we know that?
First child. Remember, that's what he said. He said, "I will play in more Masters, but I only get to be present for my first child's birth once."
Sounds like
that's
somebody's not committed to golf.
Wow.
Well, he also said, "I would not expect my wife is going to send that text." Maybe ever.
She better squinch till Sunday. I'm telling you. and if that kid pops out and he's got to leave, they better name it Gus for Augusta. It better be something Masters themed.
My wife's name is Augusta. So see? Every week in our house, it's all about Augusta.
That's exactly nice. Right. So it works. Girl, boy, doesn't matter. You got to make it Masters themed if that baby pops out this week.
Funny story about that. She goes by Gus. So when people introduce us as Gus and Kelly, they think I'm Gus and she's Kelly. Hey, good to see you guys.
You too. That is Kelly Brothers. We'll see you. We talk to you each and every Thursday at 7:30. Take care. Enjoy the Masters, Kelly.
Thanks, buddy. That's
Kelly Brothers. We'll be right back. We'll do some standings watch. Also, we'll update the breaking news. O.J. Simpson has passed away at 76 years old. A battle with cancer. More details coming out about that. I'm sure that will invoke a lot of calm, reasoned, measured conversation as well. And honestly, I just let's be cool about it. I don't have the energy to deal with that today, especially since I'm about to switch to electric this spring and save big with American Energy. You got to stay ahead of those spiking energy bills this summer. With up to $9,000 in rebates. And remember, American Energy will do all the work for you. They'll cut out the little box codes or whatever you got to do, fill out the forms. They'll mail all that in on a new ultra-high efficiency comfort system. American Energy is providing huge rebates from SMUD as well as spring specials by installing one of many incredibly efficient AC options available to you now. AC standing for air conditioning, by the way. Get rid of those fluctuating gas bills in the winter, and switch to year-round all-electric with American Energy. Let them perform a free in-home energy efficiency analysis. See where they can help you save for the warmer months ahead. These guys are the best. Learn more by calling 916-520-9990. That's 916-520-9990. AmericanEnergyAir.com. American Energy, making the uncomfortable comfortable. When we get back, we'll look at the standings. We have some very uncomfortable news, unfortunate news about an ex-king, and we'll go around the NBA as well next.
Waking you up with the best in love. local sports.
They just make it interesting, you know?
It's the Carmichael Dave Show with Jason Ross
on Sacktown Sports.
Welcome back. Carmichael Dave, Jason Ross, Christopher Lott, the executive producer in charge of all music, joining us right now. And, well, a couple of places to go here. Let me, it's kind of an upbeat song, so I want to give it a few seconds before, you know, generally.
Standings watch.
Yeah, we can do standings watch. I want to make sure we have time. First off, to reset the news of the day. This is going to dominate the day. This is going to dominate the next few days. O.J. Simpson has passed away at 76 years old. It was a cancer diagnosis. It was known that he had prostate cancer. And apparently, this was kept incredibly quiet. He was in hospice care. Had, you know, this wasn't sudden, but they kept it very, very quiet. And, I mean, obviously, that's their right. That's the family's right. This will obviously be a very charged, very nuanced conversation, as we said before. It's amazing, Jason, you know, when you look back, and obviously these are two different scenarios, but if you asked little kid Dave, like, hey, who are two of your, put down a list of your favorite celebrities. I don't know where, but somewhere probably in the top five would have been O.J. and Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
Honestly.
I believe that.
I wanted Bill Cosby to be my dad so bad growing up. I mean, I love my dad. Don't get me wrong. But like the Huxtables, man.
Sure.
And then with OJ, oh, it's Nordberg.
Right.
Oh, he's running through the airport for the Hertz commercials, jumping over stuff. Oh, look at him on you know, on the sidelines and then doing football coverage. Like what a great guy. The beautiful smile, the just way he engaged people on TV, like you fell in love with the guy.
Yeah, and I'd only really seen footage of him as a player. I don't remember him as a football
player. I don't
either
at all.
But everybody, like, how good he was and blah, 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 blah.
Yep.
And so, yeah, absolutely.
If, and I imagine Ezra, I forget his last name, the guy who ended up winning an Oscar for it. If you haven't had a chance, I think it's either on ESPN or Netflix. But I imagine a lot of you will either revisit or visit for the first time the O.J. Simpson 30 for 30. I think it's, what, nine parts, something like that. Very, very.
Six, I think.
Six, thank you. Just.
It was amazing.
Amazing.
That's one of the best features I've ever seen.
With apologies to our good friend Jason Harry, did the Jordan feature, which was incredible.
Yeah.
There were things in that OJ doc I just.
Yeah, and I thought I knew just about everything about the case, about him. And there,
And when you look at. You know, and again, it's tough to, you have to remember, and I'll say it because it should be said, maybe spare a thought today for the Goldman family and for the victims of OJ as well, who hopefully are getting some form of peace as well. I think that's important to acknowledge. I'm not trying to dance on OJ's grave, but at the same time, listen, this guy's a convicted.
Some people will.
Huh?
Some people will.
Yeah, some people will.
Yeah.
Look. If you go to 50,000 feet, the biggest cultural legacy, I don't know what the word is of O.J. Simpson, is going to be that car chase and the ensuing trial. And again, I'm not trying, the reason why I'm stuttering here is because I'm not trying to be insensitive or take people's lives and put them in a cultural whatever. But the bottom line is that car chase that happened during the, I think it was the Rockets and Knicks finals, is one of those things that I like to refer to as a Kennedy moment. There, everybody has very few Kennedy moments in their life. I was not, neither were you alive for the JFK assassination. But if you ask our parents right now, Grant, whoever, they know exactly where they were.
Yeah,
I know where I was for 9/11. I know where I was for the Challenger crash, the one when I was in fifth grade. I know where I was for the, I know exactly, I was in a little eatery in Stockton on El Dorado Street on break from my telemarketing job, watching over a bowl of soup, I think it was, everything shut down to watch this. And Jason, remember, Al Cowlings is driving the white Bronco.
Right.
It's being broadcast. It is the mother, father, grandfather, and grandmother of all car chases, and you're here. Oh, he has a gun, I think.
Yeah.
He's threatening to kill himself. OJ, this can't be right.
Right. Well, and the amount of support. Remember all the people like out on LA freeways and cheering for him.
Yes.
And supporting him.
Yes.
And,
yes.
Signs and.
Yes.
That goes back to where his popularity was. And I think at the very, very beginning of that, people were like, there's no way this is true. He couldn't have done this.
No way. There's no way he could
not
have done
that guy.
It.
Nope. Not the guy I think I know based nope. on television and commercials.
No.
And so he was incredibly popular.
Yes.
And you have that figure, something we had never really seen like that live on TV.
Right.
Incredible.
It was.
I also, in that time, so I'm graduating from UC Davis at the time, and the amount of people at the graduation, so cap and gowns that had either free OJ, white Ford Broncos on their hat, I mean on their caps. It was amazing. And, you know, the trial hadn't started any of that, but it was, there was a lot of support for him.
There was a ton of support for him. And it really was unprecedented because what year?
Was 94.
Was it 94? And wasn't Rodney King, weren't the Rodney King riots 92,
yes.
I think? Because you go from football player to alleged, I guess, because he technically wasn't convicted. I mean, but you know, whatever. I won't get into that one.
Yeah.
That incident to the car chase and then to the verdict.
Right.
And the verdict coming on the heels of the Rodney King riots and how racially charged everything was. Look, it's just a bottom line. I'm not trying to dip my toe on the third rail here, but you go back and Google polls that were taken. Is O.J. Simpson guilty? And a few of those polls divided it by race. And it was almost 80-20 one side, 80-20 the other. Look them up for yourself. So you have this massive racially charged situation where you had cameras set up in different places where people were gathering like it was the Super Bowl,
yeah.
Literally for the reading of the OJ verdict. And they would, and the way the media did this was just brilliantly insensitive. And I use that brilliant in the sense that they captured it all and the ratings were through the roof. Insensitive because of the damage it almost certainly did by basically broadcasting to everybody what a lot of people knew, which is we still got a lot of work to do racially in this country on the whole down the middle thing for stuff like this. It's so incredibly polarizing. You'd have this camera on a group of people of color, and then you'd have this camera on people that look like you and I, and you see the verdict read, and they'd have a split screen. And on the left, you have the group of people celebrating like their team just won the World Series. And on the right, you have the other people just slinking in their chairs. And people began to attach themselves to this. They didn't know the victims.
Right.
This all of a sudden, and it was gross to see, it became almost a sport where you were, which team are you on? Are you team OJ or are you team not OJ? And we're going to go at it. And we're going to, it was very similar to sports teams. Over a murder, multiple murders.
Right.
That's the legacy, I think, in the end
crazy
of O.J.
time.
Simpson. It absolutely was a crazy time. As we go to break, guys, I didn't know where to put this, and I certainly, look, it's news, and we don't want to be dumb about it. I'm just going to read the news as it is, because I read this, and my heart absolutely sank into my feet. Ex-Sacramento King Ben McLemore was arrested by U.S. Marshals on Tuesday and jailed in Oregon, where he faces sex crime charges stemming from allegations that he sexually assaulted a woman in 2021 when he was playing for the Portland Trailblazers. He was arrested at the airport on outstanding felony warrants for one charge of first-degree rape, one charge of first-degree unlawful, well, I won't say that out loud, but it's, trust me, it's bad. Two charges of second-degree sexual abuse, according to police, up in Oregon. And look, I'm not going to do the whole thing where, hey, Ben was a nice guy. I hope that, look, if he did the thing, this is where you let the justice system avail itself, innocent until proven guilty. But it's news, and you have to read the news. We'll take a break. When we come back, we got to talk to Sam Amick of The Athletic. We will completely switch gears from a lot of this serious stuff and start talking about, from an NBA perspective and a Kings perspective, very serious stuff going on tonight when it comes to the standings, the games themselves, and the rest of the season. We'll do all that. Sam visits next.